Welcome to Civil Defense Radio with your host, Preston Schlankhofer, where we talk about all things civil defense. Civil defense is about building community resiliency by becoming better informed, prepared, and organized to meet whatever disaster might affect you, your neighborhood, and your community. There are many threats on the horizon, yet we cannot rely on true and accurate media coverage of many of these issues. These threats are propagated from the mainstream media seeking to tell only one side of the story. In fact, this propagation can even be considered biased propaganda. This is a legitimate threat to you, your family, and our nation, and here on Civil Defense Radio, we seek the facts that others leave out. Remember, your tomorrow may depend on today's preparedness. Now, here is your host, Preston Schlankhofer.
Hello, this is Preston Schlankhofer, your host with Civil Defense Radio. Welcome back. This is week two and part two of our interview with Silko Begovic, the author of the great book on SHTF survival called The Dark Secrets of SHTF, The Brutal Truth About Violence, Death, and Mayhem You Must Know to Survive. And there is a warning on the front cover. It says, warning, graphic content. And it is. Survival is graphic. And that's something that many people fail to realize. It's something that needs to be realized and prepared for. And so with that said, let's get back to our discussion with Silko. And thank you for being with us.
What other things from your experience is there that people really need to understand that they may not realize is so important, like sanitation and being able to take care of even minor medical or cuts and things like that?
Well, I can give you one like example. I do real courses, physical courses for people, and almost always, usually on second day or third day of the course, there is a huge realization among students, and that realization come to the almost always same words. Words are I'm like quoting here. Oh, but this is so hard. Of course, it is hard. Almost people who did not go through situation like that simply cannot realize how everyday life get tougher and how everyday tasks get more time demanding or how take more time. So basically your whole everyday life gets asked more time and more effort from you, and it is constant. And I'll give you one example. When that happened in my time, as we lost electricity and everything else, we lost ability to cook and heat ourselves on normal ways, and we needed, of course, to continue to do that. And that basic tasks of heating and cooking asks from us much more effort and time to gather firewood, resources for that, and to cook food, to heat ourselves. So it is much more time demanding and much more effort taking. Now, not to mention other, let's say, more complicated things, like with what things you can substitute medicine for lowering high blood pressure. And this is only an example. So everything gets much more complicated. Now you can solve some of these problems by prepping, basic prepping, which I understand it is piling of things, which is great. But other problems or other level of these problems you cannot solve. You need to understand right now, today, that you are going to lose a whole bunch of, I call it luxuries. We don't see today as luxuries, but I call it luxury. So you are going to lose maybe ability to shower every day. You are going to lose ability to eat cooked food. You are going to lose ability to have good haircut or stuff like that. But guess what? Life is still going on. You are going to survive. My point here, some things are important and life-saving or life-threatening. Other things are not so important, and you need to divide those things today. Why today? Because when something serious happens, you need to be kind of mentally ready for that. Because if you are in shock, you are losing ability to comprehend things, and you can lose your head, actually, if you are in shock. Every war veteran knows that if you adapt fast, you are going to survive. If you are in shock and asking yourself constantly, "Oh my God, what is this? This is ridiculous. This is crazy. I cannot take." You are going to lose your head. Basically, a whole set of everyday things simply will ask much more effort and time. Medical. Heating, cooking, your simple ability to continue to have your normal home. And I'll give you one example. When everything is collapsed, your home will deteriorate. Most of the people do not understand how it will deteriorate, because system is running and keep those buildings safe and running. But when everything falls apart, you need to keep your home running. How did I solve that? Well, I simply plug holes with tarps and things like that. But most of the people do not even understand that when SHTF, not only people, things, buildings, everything deteriorate. And where there is no system to measures, you are going to find yourself actually in situation where you going to take care of that. Does this make sense to you?
Yes. I know my wife and I are constantly working on something around this house. We recently had our door that goes out to the porch in the back. It sprung a leak, and now we have some damage to our hardwood floors right next to that door. So this is going to be the second door that was replaced because of water damage, and then our floors, unfortunately, it'll be the second time for some of the floor to be replaced. So we just had our roof redone because of damage. So I know what damages can happen to a home. I'm constantly working on it, taking leaves off the roof and trying to keep trees from brushing up against the tiles on the roof. And I mean, it's a constant battle. So I can't even imagine what it would be like with an SHTF environment. I guess the best thing to do would be just to try and keep the water out and and the doors secure. That would be mission impossible, almost anything more than that.
Yes, and it is good mention. People need to kind of, preppers need to kind of realize what things are going to be impossible, and simply they need to abandon those things or forget about those things and concentrate themselves on more important things. A good step through that, because all of this preppings and survivalism is need to get done today, while situation is still normal. So, for example, how many people today in normal society knows what's happening with your garbage that you
yeah.
Not too many people, because why should they? There is system running and taking care about that. Now, where there is no system, there's still going to be garbage. There's still going to be water issues, sanitation issues, and everything. So it is good time today to understand how those things work, so you can have some kind of plan when there is no system. People do not realize that whole bunch of problems are still going to be there, but simply system is not going to be there for taking care about those problems, and people alone will need to take care about those problems.
Yes, yes. And not everybody's capable with a hammer and screwdriver and things like that. So, you know, again, it goes back to community. You can't do everything yourself. You need help in a lot of areas of life. And just think, if we didn't have the ability to call a plumber to come and fix this, or an electrician to come and fix that, who would you call? Is there somebody in the neighborhood that has that skill? Well, now's a good time to find out, right?
Great, great mention, and I use my example here again. I never was so good. You can say I never was so good with my hands, with technical stuff, with fixing stuff. But on the other side, I was and I am nurse, so I have great skills from that medical field. But I did have group of people with me, and inside that group there were people who are good with technical skills. And again, even if I did not have men who is good with fixing stuff, I had my own skills which are great in medical field, so I can kind of barter skills for skills. And that is very important, because first, you cannot, there is no way that you can know everything that you need for collapse. That's the first thing. Second thing, there is no, or very rarely there are people who are useless. Let's call it useless. Preppers are concentrated on concentrating on the, let's call it, cool stuff, and considering those things as great skills. There are whole set of other skills, and I always at this point mention older guy from my family and my group in that time, and his only skill actually in that time was that he knows how to listen to us, and he knows right moment when he should say something, or in other words, when I was down, I would speak with that man, and I was feeling much better after that. You can say today that he had great coping skills, great skills to help other people who are mentally down. So again, there are very rare people who do not have any kind of skill. And second thing, skills can be learned, and there is time to learn skills. So learn it. There is still time.
Yes, I agree. You know, in your book, you talk about having a garden, and I know when your family was going through the tough time there during the war, you guys weren't really able to have a garden, but that is something that would be important if you were able to do something like that, right?
Yes, of course. My settings in those time, I was in city, and actually in that time every piece of land was important, because you would grow something. Again, I need to mention here that usually in the city, there is no, you are usually not going to have enough ground or land resources to grow all of your food. But anything that you have will help you out. So it was very, very important in those times to have a piece of land or yard or some kind of land around your house, and to grow something, even if it was very, very small, because in those times everything counted, because again there were much, much more people than resources in that time. So yes, of course, I need to point out one other thing that I always mention. My perfect, when people ask me, okay, what is perfect place to be when something serious happen, there is a reason why I always talk about urban survival. And it is reason is very simple. I went through that, so all of my experience coming from that urban survival. But when people ask me, where do you want to be next time if something happens? Answer is definitely, I do not want to be in city. So, yes, it's simple like that. Because somehow some people think that because I always talk about urban survival, I prefer urban survival. No, I do not. But then again, I do not prefer also that wilderness survival. What is perfect solution for me, and actually what I have in my plans for years, is small communities, or I think you call it small towns, because we here do not have those kind of small towns like in US. We have usually villages or cities, and that's it. So perfect solution for me and from my experience is very small small communities or very small towns with a lot of with access to the natural resources like water, woods, hunting, fishing, stuff like that, but also with access to people who know each other for a long time, for a long period of time, because in small towns, small communities, usually everybody knows everybody. So you have you already have some kind of idea who is who, if you understand me.
Yes, I understand completely. That leads me to my next question, which I wanted to save this towards the end, which is about the violence. Your book, you talk some about the violence that happened. You know, if you're comfortable talking about it, then could you give us an insight into, because what we're talking about is the absence of rule of law, and a lot of people change in their demeanor in a crisis situation such as what you went through, and survival takes over, and you know there's gangs out there that are going to take advantage of that type of situation and run rampant. So can you give us some insight into that, and also even in a rural environment, there could be some violence coming from the larger cities going out to the rural areas, like Fernando Aguirre talked about in his book, Modern Survival Manual.
Yes, of course. First thing, there is that acronym. Is it acronym? Without rule of law.
Yes.
Love. People use it a lot. And over the time, because I find these acronyms and words very important. Why? When you said without rule of law, some people, or actually a lot of people, may imagine it like some kind of Mad Max situation, like complete lawlessness. In reality, usually it's not working like that. I call it a different rule of law. Actually, there is always going to be some kind of force or group or fraction who is going to impose some kind of their law or rules. You can call it militia, gang, or whatever. Those are only names. Important is there is always going to be some kind, let's call it rules, or somebody who is trying to impose rules. Now, important thing here is that those kind of rules or laws are going to be absolutely and completely usually different than laws that you have today. That's one thing. Second thing, people, I call it like this, people are nice when times are nice. So in reality, you do not know really what kind of person your neighbor is, because your neighbor and you, of course, are living in normal times, in times where society is running. So you are more or less abiding that society. And what is even more important, that society provides you something, job to work and whole other set of things. So when that society is gone, when problems show up, your neighbor will show his real face. Or in other words, you'll see only then is your neighbor ready to kill you because of things that you have in your home. And it's simple like that. Second things, there is a very, very huge difference between people acting in times where and when they are afraid of repercussions from system, and those same people acting in times where when they are feel and see there are no repercussions from system, because there is no system. So actually, a whole bunch of people which will change because they are going to realize there are no repercussions. Of course, this is it is different. Am I talking about bad weather event or some serious collapse? I mean, even in bad weather event, you can see that very fast people go into the looting and raping and stuff like that. So you can only imagine how much and how far people will go when they realize there is no repercussion coming, there is no punishment coming from the system. They are realizing simply there is no system coming back for a long, long time. So that change, no correction. They are that's not going to change people. That's going to draw their real face to the surface. If that makes sense to you.
Yes.
Now, so and I need to point out also there are people who are let's call it normal, law-abiding citizen, moral people. They clearly have distinction what is good and what is bad or evil, and they do not want to do evil. They want to be good people. But now, are those people going to do only good things if their kids are hungry or dying from hunger? A lot of good people will turn to bad people, actually. Because if good... now, this may sound complicated. If good men... want to if good man do bad things because he do not want to watch his kid dying from hunger, is he bad man or what? It's not really important for us. It goes to philosophy. It is important to us to the extent of what you can expect from people around you, and I can say really short, you can expect everything, expect everything. Now more things about violence that people do not usually, preppers do not realize. There are people who are, I will not say people, there are even organizations who are only waiting for bad things to happen or society to fall or system to fall, because they will jump in and try to replace that society or system. I'm talking here mostly about criminal organization, because when everything fall apart, those criminal organization will already have skills, organization, and means to jump in.
Yes.
And to try to replace that system running.
Right.
I mostly talk about them, but not only about them. There are other kind of organization who may be tied to industrial complexes or even military complexes, or we do not know tied with who or what. But let's do not concentrate only about those criminal organization. What I'm trying to say here, there are people, let's call it, and organizations who are ready for these kind of things. So you can expect them to jump in and to try to impose some kind of their rules. I hope you are understanding what I'm trying to say here, because I don't want to name. Names can lead us to bad directions. Let's just stick to the organizations or fractions.
Yeah. Yeah, there'll be various types of groups that'll be trying to fill the void of power and organization and trying to control resources as well.
Yes, and it is not like conspiracy theory. I'm not going in that direction. It is reality. It is simple reality.
Yeah. When there's a power vacuum, there's always somebody that's willing to step in to that void. So it doesn't matter at what level it is or under what circumstance. There's always going to be those who are ready to do that and a lot of times waiting to do that. You're right.
Yes.
In the beginning of your book, you talk a lot about the media and how the media, and we're seeing it here in America right now with, the president calls a lot of the media, especially CNN, calls them fake news. And as far as I'm concerned, he's right because all they do is spread lies and try to influence people in certain ways, and it's all because of politics. It's sad that this type of stuff is happening in our country, and there's many people that don't even see it because they choose not to. As far as I'm concerned, they choose not to because they're sympathetic to the message. But at the same time, they don't know. They don't have the ability necessarily to discern that they are being led like sheep. Can you comment a little bit about your experience with that?
I can put it very on a very simple way. Media in those times brought whole bunch of people into the stage where they are so frightened and so frightened so they did horrible things. And here's the point. I realized that years after. Simply bombarded us not only with false informations, how media played actually us. And I strongly believe into the what I call it my own survival circle. And that means I do take care only about my own survival circle and things that will that are important only for me and my group of people. I'm not saying I do not follow news. Of course, I'm following news always, but I do not letting myself get pulled into that. Why? Because I experienced that media is completely capable into the pushing common people, common folks, law-abiding citizens over the time with bombarding of information, false information, wrong information into the place in time where they are going to do horrible things. Not only horrible, stupid things, things that do not have any kind of sense. And even today, in those times, we didn't have internet, of course. We have a small amount of sources in media. But even today, when we have huge access to all kind of these different sources, even today, it is easy to play most of the people with media. I strongly advocate always searching to the alternate news sources and always asking myself, okay, who could have any gain of this news, information in this news. When something happened like breaking news or whatever, I always ask myself, okay, who can use this and why this is there? And is yeah. this true? Again, you can call me conspiracy theorist. No, I'm just finding myself in position that I always double, what's the word? I don't know correct word. I always...
Fact check.
Great, yes.
Yeah,
I always double check everything, and I always saying to myself, "Okay, take it easy. Let's check: is this true, and where this leads?" People today, even even they have a lot of other sources of information. People today are living and wanting to be plugged in this news chaos always and constantly. So it is even actually, I think it is even easier to play people today, because somehow people are getting addicted to be plugged in all the time into the latest news. You can call it almost like addiction. You want to know all the time what is happening, so it is easier to get to be played. I'm not going to say that I hate all media. Of course, I'm not hate all the media. I'm not going to say I do not trust it. I double check everything. Yes, I double check everything. That's the first thing. A second thing, I always look for the alternate source of that information.
Yes, I do the same thing. I listen to the mainstream media, and then I also have my other sources that I check for the information, and I correlate the two sources, and then I come up with my own analysis of what probably happened. And so, yes, you got to do that. I spent a little bit of time in the Army Reserve as an analyst on a psychological operations team. And so I know how information can be twisted, and how a lot of times we see it being used against us in this nation, and a lot of it we're seeing on the news every day right now. So, Silco, I appreciate you being on the show with us. This was a pleasure and an honor. I've been wanting to get a hold of you ever since I read your book. I appreciate you being on the show. I hope I can get you back again.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Pleasure was mine. And you have right now, you have my contact. I'm here. No problem. Just let me know. Sure.
Great. Now, can you just give us how somebody can find your information, your website, your books, things like that?
Yes, of course. In the last period of time, most of things that I do actually is on organicprepper.com site. I also do Patreon. It is Resilience Hub on Patreon. And I also offer some information and courses on shtfschool.com. So yes, I do my articles often and mostly on organicprepper.com.
Great. And all this information is going to be at the bottom of the show notes, so you'll be able to find it there. Civil defense equals resiliency equals survival. The top-down governmental approach to solve our community resiliency problem has failed us. We need a community-based grassroots approach to solve this problem. To be resilient, it takes preparation, organization, and training to meet the needs of whatever situation we may find ourselves in. Civil defense helps reduce panic in a disaster, and this is why we strongly recommend establishing a community-based civil defense organization in your city or county in partnership with your local emergency manager and community leaders. Let's start our conversation with the guide found on our resources page at civildefenseradio.com. Be sure to check out our YouTube channel at Civil Defense Radio Podcast and our Facebook and Twitter pages, Civil Defense Radio and Civil_Def, DEF_radio. And I just started an Instagram page as well. And so it's Civil Defense Radio. And then again, I would like to thank Silco for being on the show. But I also want to thank you, our friends and listeners, who are with us on a regular basis. I really appreciate you being with us this week. So please be safe, be informed, be prepared, and may God bless you and keep you until next time.